All right.
Sorry. Let's start again. From the top.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Bridges Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
Yes, we do. Daniel, continuing from a stunt I did last week.
A stunt. Oh, you took more pictures?
I took another picture of the sunset.
On the road?
Because it's so fucking fire. This one's way better. So last week, I tried to take a picture of the sunset because Arizona has some crazy ass sunsets just like on the freeway.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't that cool. This one, I did no sunglasses.
Okay.
Just like as is. And I think it was because I got here a little bit late. And so
that one is really cool.
Yeah, that one's really cool.
The clouds, dude.
So now I don't have to put myself in danger anymore.
That's good.
Because this one did pretty good.
Is that why you got here later? You just you left later for the picture?
No, I was trying to read Gargoyles of Gotham by Raphael Grampa, and it's longer than I thought it was. So
is it like 40 pages, you think?
I think it's double size, but I don't know what I thought because it has a spine. So I don't know. Didn't do the timing right.
I always love when, like, on the prestige ones, like, they have like the little spine and then they put text on it
and it's like so small.
And I'm like, is and this it's fucking
like, it's like
Aquaman?
Not like, it's not big enough to go on a bookshelf, but it's like too big kind of for like a long box as well. So it's like, I don't know what to do with this.
Don't they have boxes for
it's not a magazine one, but like you could still put it in like a bag and board, but you couldn't double bag it, you know.
I'll force it in, dude.
I'll break the bag.
Like Superman Space Age, you know, those are all like prestige ones. I got those babies.
There's no
in
way
there.
You did.
I did.
Those don't deserve that.
Sometimes you have to put one in there and let the bag stretch out a little bit. You know what I mean?
Get it ready. Get it prepared.
Get all loosened up.
That's gross.
We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is 300. We got Back Matter Matters. We got the Polis, but we start with the news.
Lots of fat, stinky news this week.
It sure
Daniel.
Is, man. It's reeking in here.
Starting off, finally, everybody's been asking for it. DC's Kite Man series has been is going to be releasing on Max in 2024.
Yeah, dude, we got a little trailer, teaser.
Little trailer for it.
Called Kite Man Hell Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is called Kite Man Hell Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I like that character in the show a lot, actually.
Yeah, I need to watch Harley Quinn just so I have all the context, you know?
Yeah, his character is really funny because he's, like, dating Poison Ivy, but he's, like, super lame and Poison Ivy's, like, really cool. And so I like that dynamic a lot.
It's like you.
Yeah, it really is, honestly.
That's cool. Not really comic news, but I guess supposed to be like a Lando show in Star Wars, but it's going to be a movie now.
Yep.
Which is cool.
Better?
I prefer that.
Yeah. I prefer that, yeah.
Because I think Solo worked as like a movie, but I don't know if it would work as like a show.
Definitely not.
You know,
like as a movie. Just get it over with, you know?
Yeah, real quick. Like one day.
It feels like that could have been like one of the shows, but yeah, it's definitely better as a movie.
Yeah, so.
Weird news. You probably saw this, but in a shocking statement, Bill Willingham, the creator of the beloved comic series Fables, have you heard this?
Yeah.
He has released the franchise into the public domain. And so as the owner, you, the listeners, and me, and you, Daniel, have the rights to create Fables and Wolf Among Us movies, cartoons, books, and more. Or so we thought.
Oh, twist?
Because there's a twist, but hold on. More on Bill Willingham. He made this announcement because I guess there was like some rights to Fables specifically made with DC. Like he was supposed to have more of the ownership of it because I think he made it for like Vertigo, I want to say.
Yeah.
And there was some, you know, he says basically that copyright law is a mess, purposely vague and murky, and no two lawyers, not even those specializing in copyright and trademark law, agree on anything. So those laws were like kept vague enough, I guess, the contract was kept vague enough to where DC could just like kind of twist that towards their favor and not really necessarily to Bill Willingham, which is why he put it in public domain. And so DC came out with a statement and they said the Fables comic books and graphic novels published by DC and the storylines, characters and elements therein are owned by DC and protected under the copyright laws of the United States and throughout the world in accordance with applicable law and are not in public domain. DC reserves all rights and will take such action as DC deems necessary, appropriate to protect its intellectual property rights. So it like is and it isn't, and it's kind of weird. And DC, I think, just said that as like a way to like scare people, to not encouraging
them
making that thing. Also, did you know that The Wolf Among Us, that game, was based off of Fables?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I knew someone who told me to play it, and I played it for like a little bit. I'm like, this is like Fables, you know? And then it like ended up being like connected, I guess.
Have you read Fables?
I maybe tried.
Oh, okay.
But like just didn't really commit to it, I guess.
Yeah, I've never read it.
We'll probably get to it eventually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I listened to a podcast with him, you know, Word Balloon, mm-hmm. and he made it seem like any kind of like movie that he wanted to make out of it would have to go through DC, basically. Right. You seem to be more read up on it than I am, but like, mm-hmm. this is just what I picked up from it. But he didn't want to do that and things like that. So I guess he had the right to do that. But I thought Vertigo stuff was like partially creator owned or whatever.
It might not be Vertigo. I could be wrong about that, but it definitely seems like a Vertigo book. So
it's not like Swamp Thing.
Yeah, it's like owned by whoever did Swamp.
Like Len Wein or whatever.
But that wasn't Vertigo initially. It was a different publishing company. And then I think DC bought that company. So that's different. But
okay. What other? Like, why The Last Man?
Yeah, why The Last Man?
There's no issue with that.
Yeah.
I guess.
So maybe it wasn't Vertigo, but very interesting. It's, you don't see people just releasing shit in the public domain, so it's that's interesting.
Yeah, that was definitely odd.
Yeah,
but it seems like he's still working on stuff, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize how big like the Fables like universe was. Like, there's a lot of like spinoffs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
there's like a book called like Unwritten and stuff like that, and like a different solo series for all the different characters.
And I think there's like a bunch of public domain characters in that story anyway, so it's
which is weird because like there's like Sleeping Beauty, I think,
yeah,
and stuff like that, and just like all like those like old Disney characters mm-hmm. that are in public domain. And so it's weird that they think that they have rights to that, but I think it's just like the concept of those characters like those being in the real stories, world or whatever.
Yeah, any original characters for that.
So
very interesting.
Yeah,
this might be cold news. Maybe we've talked about it even on this podcast, but Sean Murphy is going to be making a Zorro comic called Man of the Dead.
I think we just knew about it, but we didn't know like the title.
Yeah, it looks like, you know,
is he drawing?
He is drawing it, and Zorro has like a sugar skull thing going on his face. Looks pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I feel like he could have done more with like the cover, but rather than just like a headshot.
Yeah,
seems cool. Nathan, you know the One Piece show?
Mm-hmm.
They got renewed for a second season.
That's pretty cool because it was like pretty expensive, right? To make
$17 million an episode. So the second most expensive show on Netflix other than Stranger Things.
I thought Sandman was the most, no?
It was up there, but not
it was most. Up there?
I think
okay.
That was more like $10 million an episode.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Still pricey.
Yeah, the weebs came through.
Did you watch it?
Not yet.
It's actually really solid.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. The first episode is like super fun.
Okay.
Yeah. In other live action news, we got a trailer for Aquaman.
Oh, yeah.
Aquaman.
Number two. Lost Kingdom?
Probably.
Sounds right, right?
Where'd the kingdom go? I misplaced it.
Well, the ocean's so big, they know. You know, 70% of the Earth.
What ocean is it in? I don't know.
The Pacific. Go look there.
Maybe. Patrick Wilson is
looks
back.
Looks great.
He is fucking jacked, dude.
He's so big.
How is he so big?
How does he do that?
I was
I
like,
understand.
whoa, who is this? And then like, he's talking to Patrick Wilson right now.
Yeah.
And so
pretty cool. Yahya Abdul-Mateen. Is that his name?
Also jacked, dude.
Also jacked. And I like seeing him and stuff.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I don't like how like this movie has the same villains as the first one.
It's a different.
It's basically like the Black Boys Manta. Season two, you know? It's just,
it's like, oh, it's just Homelander.
Still Homelander.
We gotta get Homelander. He's got big beams that he could shoot out of his eyes. Well,
and
because Black Manta wasn't, no, he was the villain in the last one. This same
Ocean Yaya Master Abdul, and, yeah,
well, Black Manta. He's teaming up with Ocean Master.
Oh.
People think he's gonna, his kid that he has in it is gonna die.
Yeah, dude.
It's like a thing.
We should read that run.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Who did that run? Do we know?
Ah, it's old. It's called...
I want to read
it's
that
called
trade.
Death of the Prince or something. Or okay, Death of a Prince.
I want to read that trade. I don't care if it's like number six. I just want to read the one where the baby dies.
We will, yeah.
Okay.
It's like a big thing that happened that people like don't like in comics.
Yeah.
Like a baby dying.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
I love when babies die. No, I like the controversial stuff.
It's like on the same level as like Invisible Woman's like boob window outfit, you know? People or up in arms
controversial.
Or the Clone Saga stuff like
Clone
that.
Clone Saga. I think people are...
I think people come around on it, maybe, but...
On Clone Saga?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't want to read it, but yeah. But yeah, it looks fine. Is this like the last thing before we get actual...
I think New Blue Beetle is technically a part of it.
Blue Beetle is like the start of it or whatever. But yeah. Like this is the last thing that was in production before James Gunn came on, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So
the Marvel's Avengers game is going to be delisted forever on September 30th.
What does that mean?
It means you can't get it and you can't play it anymore.
So even if you bought it, you can't play it.
Even if you bought it, you can't play it. But guess what, Dana? It's on sale right now. So you could buy it right now.
For like a little.
For like $10. So.
Dang. Is it worth it just to see how bad it is?
$10? No.
Oh, okay. Maybe if it was $5?
People say if you put in a lot of time into it, it gets somewhat kind of fun sometimes. So
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
How old is that game?
I played it initially. Ooh, 2020, I think is when it came out.
Okay.
And I played it. And my game file got corrupted and had to go back, like, recover from, like, an hour. Ooh. Like, I lost an hour, and then I never played the game again because I did not want to go through that shit again.
That happened with Fallen Order with me, but I kept playing.
Yeah. Did you finish that?
No.
Should.
I'll let you know.
So that's interesting. Two pieces of Avengers news, Daniel. The bigger one. Lego Marvel Avengers : Code Red, an all-new special streaming on Disney Plus October 27th.
You know, they have a lot of those that they just drop.
Yeah, they do. But this one seems different. I don't know.
Does it?
Second piece of Avengers news. Chip Zdarsky on Avengers Twilight with Daniel Acuna. Back to Marvel, baby.
Whoa, he's jumping
just
Chip.
Finished Marvel with Daredevil. Now he's back to Marvel with Avengers.
So is that... It's called Avengers what?
Avengers Twilight.
So it's like a maxi miniseries or something?
Probably a maxi series. Comes out January 2024. We're going to find out more at New York Comic Con next month.
Yeah, he's going to that. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then another thing to be released no more at New York Comic Con, Ultimate Spider-Man coming back January 2024 with Jonathan Hickman and Marco Cecchetto. So that nice. Seems pretty good too.
He's a great
Spider-Man artist. He popped up on him and Chip's Daredevil run a couple times, and I'm like, God, he's really good at it. So
yeah. Nathan,
what's up?
New book, Vengeance of the Moon Knight, #1.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out in January by... Yeah.
Jed McKay and Alessandro Capuccio. So same creative team as the Moon Knight run before.
Okay.
But new #1, and he comes back, and he's got a different design, maybe? Looks pretty good. Do I hop on?
Did you try the last run that they did?
That was the run that I gave the Nacho Award.
Ooh. Well, we got to have a Nacho Award this year or next year.
Yeah,
so.
Next year. So
Nathan, big comeback from a team, probably the biggest comeback of your lifetime.
Of my lifetime.
Yeah.
Biggest comeback.
Can you guess?
A team, like a comic book team?
Comic book team coming back in a new series.
Dude, I don't know.
Guess once.
Alpha Flight.
Power Pack is coming back, Nathan. Alpha Flight's already back.
Yeah, I know. That's the only one I can think of.
Power Pack the Storm coming January 2024.
Is that?
It's a 5-issue miniseries.
Who's it's Power Pack again?
It's one with the kids.
Is it the one with Dog Wilder?
No, I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know.
I think, isn't that the one with the kids or something?
Maybe.
There's some kids.
I've definitely heard that thing that you said. So
apparently not, because you didn't write it down.
God, there's so much news this week.
I know.
I'm going to save my favorite piece of news for this week for last, because I think it's really weird and funny.
All right, I'll do my last thing.
Okay.
Rick Remender signs a 3-year exclusive deal with Image Comics.
Yeah, I didn't think they did that.
They did it with Lemire.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I think it was longer, though. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Not to, you know, compare dicks or anything.
Not that it's a competition, but I like Jeff Lemire more, so that's cool, whatever.
Yeah. I think it's just for... you know, their indie stuff, just have it come out of there. Mm-hmm. I'd be stoked on that. Like,
yeah,
this,
that's
this is the
cool.
only place I want to release stuff.
Yeah. I like Remender sometimes, so that's cool. They have to be really confident about what they have coming out in order to do that, I'd imagine. Because normally I would think that Image is like, maybe like top choice, perhaps, depending on like how much work they want to put into like actually publishing something.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, has he had like some bangers recently that, and they're like, we got to keep this guy.
Recently? I don't know. But he did Black Science.
Yeah, and
I like that one.
Seven to Eternity.
And people like that one.
Do they?
I don't know. Okay, yeah. A couple more things. So there's like a Superman for All Seasons, like Absolute Edition that came out. And James Gunn read it and he's like, it's my favorite Superman story. Big influence on Legacy. So pretty cool. On like his movie coming out.
That's
and,
cool.
And then he specifically calls out the late, great Tim Sale artwork. Bjarne Hansen's watercolor. Like he went down to watercolor, which is pretty cool. So... Mm-hmm. And then Jeff Loeb as well. So pretty cool.
Very cool.
Daniel, my favorite news ever.
Don't.
Spawn, the character. You're familiar.
I know him.
He's going to have a skin in Call of Duty Warzone that you can be Spawn for starting September 27th.
That's pretty fucking dope.
It is kind of cool.
So you're just going to be walking around with this cape as exposing Spawn. You?
Yes. And it's not that crazy because they just did the boys skins and you could be like Homelander and Starlight and
oh yeah, Black it's Warzone. Noir. It's like the
yeah, Battle Warzone's Royale the thing. Battle Royale one. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, but I just and like Todd McFarlane like tweeted that out and he's like, look, you can be fucking Spawn or whatever. And I'm like, this is such a weird collab. Do people really like Spawn that much? You know, I don't think you go the boys, super popular show, very hot right now, and then like Spawn, you know.
I don't know if like that many people really know of it that much. It seems like so Todd either. McFarlane is like got the biggest advertising budget like ever. Because he puts him in like
it has everything. To be his own money.
Probably. It's probably toy money.
Yeah. I think he got fat toy money and he's just like trying to ramp up for the movie that he's directing. Maybe.
I don't know.
I like, doubt that's still happening.
We don't
happening.
Even have like. We have like no news on that except
no news.
For Jamie Foxx. Yeah. Know?
And he's still trucking along on some toys.
That should be like this kind of advertising shit should be like year of.
Yes.
Or during. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I agree. So we'll see how long the Spawn train goes, baby. But it seems strange.
Yeah. Because no comic money, like purely comic money. I guess it did
have
a
like
movie.
Four Spawn series and one of them probably got canceled by now. But I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like. It wouldn't cancel unless like
Todd's
Todd
like,
wanted to
Todd's
cancel.
Like, yeah, we're done with this. Or maybe they were like limited series. But yeah, that guy, he puts everything into Spawn. It's kind of respectable, you know. How does he get
I
like,
gave it a chance.
How does he get like John Call of Duty's number and is like, let's put my character, like however he talks. let's put my character into
listen to this or whatever.
That is kind of how he sounds. All right.
You know Spawn? Everyone loves Spawn.
That's pretty good. And what I was doing Spider-Man.
you're mixing with like Kermit the Frog?
Yeah, that's the only thing I could do.
You're actually doing a very good Patrick Mahomes right now.
Oh, yeah. He does have like a weird raspy voice.
I like ketchup.
I got some
steak.
It's Jake from State Farm. Hi. What made him like that?
I think just...
You have to know. Did someone punch him in the throat and he like never fix it?
He got there's a penalty called horse collar when people grab like the thing and bring him down.
Whoa.
He got horse collar too hard.
He must have, yeah.
Yeah. In Texas only... Tech, and now it's a rule because look what happened to him.
You ruined every karaoke night Patrick Mahomes is in.
He ruined great tackles forever.
Yeah. Great tackles.
Anyway, Nathan, we have... Eisner Award-winning series for Best Limited Series, Best Writer Artist, and Best Colorer that we're talking about today.
Frank Miller. Wait, did he win
in
that?
In 300.
Did he win that this year?
No, in like...
Oh,
for
whenever,
this
whenever
book,
this came
when
out?
When this came out. I think
Wait,
in like...
He was Best Writer, Artist, and Colorist.
No, Lynn
or Lynn Varley yeah.
was Best Colorist. Oh, and then cool. Best Limited Series.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
Pretty good. I didn't know.
I'd probably like to look at the other things that came out that week, just that year, just in case.
That
but
would
like,
be interesting.
Should we look it up?
I doubt we'd know anything because when did this come out? Like 2000s? This is 90s, surely, right? I think this came out in 98.
We got Grendel, Black, White, and Red.
Kurt Wagner.
Matt Wagner,
I mean. Kurt Wagner.
Justice League of America.
By Grant Morrison.
By Alan Davis and Mark Farmer.
Okay.
Superman for All Seasons, Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale.
Okay. What?
Whiteout by Greg Rucka and Steve Lieber.
Okay. Oh, Steve Lieber. Cool.
And then 300.
Okay, it's for sure. I mean, I haven't read everything in there, but it's for sure between 300 and Superman for All Seasons. I really like Superman for All Seasons, but I could see why 300 would win, you know? Because it's like, what did Superman for All Seasons like do, you know?
Sure. Yeah. I think like, looking for me, back, a lot. Maybe Superman for All Seasons is more like Beloved.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. This was made into a movie. And then it was made into a spoof movie, which is crazy, right?
Oh, yeah. Meet the Spartans.
Yeah. It's crazy that Frank Miller is like, let me do this book about like 300 Spartans. And then like a decade later, there's like a spoof movie.
Okay. So for best writer artist, there's also David Lapham.
Ooh, he's great.
Lapham for Straight Bullets. And Stan Sakai for Usagi Yojimbo.
Oh, my God. He beat out the GOAT?
And he beat Will Eisner himself.
He did?
Yeah. For
Will Eisner was doing work at like
Family Matter, I guess. Yeah,
it's kind of weird. It's called the Eisners.
Yeah, I don't know.
A little bit of nepotism. That wouldn't even be nepotism, but yeah, that seems weird that he would get nominated for that. You know, I doubt he's like on the panel of judges, but interesting. So those for artists,
writer artists.
Okay,
yeah, and then
I like the coloring a lot.
John Hansen also got nominated for All Seasons for coloring.
Okay.
And then Dave Kemp on Inhumans that year for coloring.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
But Lynn Varley takes it home.
I forgot Inhumans is like that old, too.
There's this weird category. It's called Talent Deserving of Wider Recognition.
Wow. The Participation Award?
Brian Michael Bendis.
Oh, okay. Good. For what? Torso?
Jinx, Torso, Goldfish.
Mm. Okay. Did he win?
Yeah, he got that.
That's funny. I wonder if that like feels good. You know, like, he's like, you don't fit into any of these categories with the elites, but like, still like you.
Thanks for noticing me, guys.
Yeah, that's like what it was.
They had best comics related sculpted figures.
Whoa.
And like best comics related product/item. It was like a Sandman pocket watch.
That's strange. I wish they still had that.
Best publication design. Toys. That's pretty cool.
Best publication design. I think that's still a thing, isn't it?
I don't know. And that was the year Bill Finger got inducted into like the Hall of Fame or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Sorry, the GOAT. I'm having fun. I love looking at these.
Yeah. It's like, oh, what do I know from this? Best continuing series that year was Preacher.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
There was also nominated Avengers by Kurt Busiek and George Perez. And Kurt Busiek's Astro City. So he got two in the same category.
Dude, that's big dick energy right there.
Oh my God. And Transmetropolitan. So stacked year that year. That's interesting that Inhumans won for best new series, the Paul Jenkins J. Lee one. Because I've read that and I don't remember like being crazy about it. I thought it was good, but I don't remember being like crazy.
Oh, that's the J. Lee one?
That's the J. Lee one.
Oh, it looks cool.
He's really good in it, but I remember it being like a lot about politics or whatever. And so I was like, I just want to see Black Bolt like whisper, you know? I gotta tell you something. And that was when Karnak was wearing that dumbass costume and he wasn't cool yet, you know?
Like always.
No, he's cool. But anyway, he's cool now.
Yeah, want to get into the book this week?
Yeah, let's do it. So we were at 300, about 300 Spartans, and they're fighting some people. What do you think?
I thought this was a lot of fun.
I think this is probably my favorite Frank Miller thing.
Whoa, dude.
Because it's like,
Take a step back for a second. I feel like you're only thinking about Sin City right now.
Sin City is pretty good.
Are you thinking about like writer artists? Frank Miller or just Frank Miller in general?
Yeah.
Because he did DK, Batman Year One.
He didn't write or art it. He didn't write and art it.
Is that all you're thinking of right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like...
No, I like Sin City a lot. So I'd put that above this.
That's fair.
I put this above DKR though.
I just think that as like a period piece...
Did you read DKR?
I read the first one. Too long, I think.
Yeah.
So...
I think we should read it one day.
Yeah, we should. It's crazy that we haven't yet, you know?
Yeah.
I wish we just got it over with.
Yeah.
Week two. We do Tom King Batman week one, week two, Frank Miller Batman.
Just all the Batman we don't want to read.
Yeah.
And then the long Halloween, shit like that, you know?
Yeah, we got to do that one at some point as well. Anyway, I think that this is really... I didn't even care for the movie that much, to be honest.
Really? Did you rewatch it?
At the time, I did rewatch it, and I'm like... Michael fucking Fassbender's in this?
Yeah.
That's all I could think of the whole time. But
we'll get to that.
But this, I was like, it's really interesting because it's a very like concise thing.
Mm.
And like period piece.
Very to the point.
like the format I'm really attracted to as well, which is like just all double page spreads pretty much.
Yeah, it's like a just a long book.
Yeah, it's like one of the long, it's like what Brian K. Vaughan does sometimes.
Yeah, with Private Eye.
Yeah, like, Private Eye. Like, we should read Private Eye. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, really. I have it.
Is it good?
I haven't read it.
We should read it.
I have plenty of shit that I haven't read.
We should just go through all the shit we haven't read, because we both have a lot. But anyway.
You won't? I'm down.
Watercolors.
That'd be like a chore almost. Like not like a chore, but like
you do have a lot
of it's like running errands, you know.
Yeah, like you have a lot of things that say Watchmen over there that scare me.
I mean not all those are even like books, you know. Yeah.
Except for the manga stuff.
Alright, that's about it.
But yeah, the what's his name? Lynn Varley?
Yeah.
He's fucking crazy in this.
Yeah, very good.
There's a lot of like Frank Miller's really good at just like putting a lot of things. On a page.
And it's really fun to dissect,
and I get it, you know. He's really great at silhouettes. Like I was reading this and I was like, I get why people idolize this dude, you know.
Because
before, you know, Sin City's fun, and like I get why people like it, but I think this is what made me think like, yeah, I fuck with it.
I think like if the movie wasn't a thing and then we just read this, I'd be like, yeah, it was pretty good, you know. But I think because of like how popular like that movie was when it came out, and then like just reading this, like that's kind of one of the things that we've been doing this month, is like just picking out what was actually in the books and where they got all this, you know. It's just like recognizing some of the scenes as they come up in the book, and that was like exciting. I'm like, oh, I know this part, you know. Let's see how it plays out in print. You know, so I think that definitely adds to the experience. And because like if you like the movie, then you'll probably like the book, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So
this was by far the closest between those two mediums for us of like all these books, because we did Wanted, The Mask, and the first one that we did read. All those are pretty drastically different from like what the movies end up being, and this is like super close, like bar for bar. Some lines that I remember being like, that's fucking hardcore, are like in the movie. Some shots even,
yeah,
like
they say that's fucking hardcore.
So it's interesting to look at it from that perspective, because that's probably the most popular movie of like those four.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. And so it's like, why don't people just do that more? But not everybody's Frank Miller either. Anyway, let's just get into it. It's 480 BC. Daniel means before Christ, in case you didn't know. Some Spartans are just doing a little march. Spartan Stelios has like a little tumble, and he's just like beaten up for it by the captain. And their leader,
that's Michael Fassbender's character.
I was so I was so distracted the entire time, because it didn't click immediately. But then like, because when you first see him, he's kind of being like a douchebag, almost
a bit of a goof.
A bit of a goof. He's like, I will fight for you, captain, and then he like stares at him, and when he's staring, I'm like, oh my god, it's Michael Fassbender.
I was like, wait a fucking minute.
It was so weird. I'm like, did he have abs in this? And he does.
It was distracting. I'm like, look at him. It's just like, it's crazy. You go back, I'm like, I can't believe I've seen this movie and then like don't recognize this person was in it, you know? Because
he didn't become
like, just the same, you know?
He didn't become famous until later, I feel like. And dude, Gerard Butler, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll get to the movie.
Anyway, so their leader, Leonidas, kind of lets Stelios get his ass beat for a little bit, but then he stops it and has Stelios carry him for like the rest of the journey. So the captain, or Leonidas, tells the captain to stop beating him up, and he doesn't stop because I guess he doesn't hear him. And I really like this part where, you know, it Frank Miller just says like he doesn't repeat himself, and so he just like kicks his ass instead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a really good introduction to a character to show like how hardcore they are.
Yeah. But this whole bit was like cut out from the movie, which is interesting.
Because they call him Stumblios, and that's kind of like seventh grade kind of shit. So yeah. I can see why they would cut that out. Also, just like, I love how every page kind of has like a big scene and then just kind of like supplemental stuff sprinkled in to kind of like lead into the next page. I think he's really good with those compositions.
Varies throughout this book. Like some will have like nothing on it, and then some will have like a ton on it.
Yeah, like the first two pages are, there's like four caption boxes in total between them, and I'm like, I'm gonna breeze through this shit.
Yeah, I'm like, it's short and like,
and like you just
super light.
And it's just like really cool to see like how big he goes, how detailed he goes with like the grass that they're standing on and shit. Just like the minute details, you can really tell that he's like a phenomenal artist.
Perfect.
It's perfect
down to the last minute details.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
That go? Oh, okay. That's like, funny.
I thought that's where you got that word from.
Oh, no. Maybe subconsciously. So the Spartans tell the tale of Leonidas as a boy, and he kills a wolf in the Arctic cold. And it's like a whole thing to hype up the Spartans.
Dude, there's so much ass in this.
They're very naked.
Everyone has their dicks out. Like, yeah, when they're just chilling, and sometimes when they're fighting, they're just...
Their dicks are out.
No draws on.
And, you know, that wasn't in the movie. A little disappointed.
Like...
This dude's cheeks are out.
That guy on that page,
yeah.
his ass is too thick.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I was like, oh, my God. He's posing for us.
I knew you were going to talk about that one. But, yeah, I mean, when you're this buff, your cheeks are going to be big, too, you know?
I guess, yeah, but I don't know. I'm glad they left that part out, you know, just not have a bunch of dicks flopping around.
Yeah, and I really like this panel in particular. They use it for the movie as well, but when the boy kills the wolf, but we only see the impact of the spear in the shadow behind him.
Yeah.
So raw.
Super raw.
So super cool. And then, oh yeah, it jumps like a year ago, and a messenger for Xerxes, who's the Persian king, warns Leonidas about his army coming to ask for earth and water, which is just like a symbol of submission to Xerxes's like empire. And Leonidas had heard that the Athenians already denied Xerxes, and he's like, well, I don't want to be like, you know, a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but I wasn't going to say yes anyway, so, because, yeah, you know, we have a reputation to uphold. And so Leonidas does the this is Sparta thing, and he kicks him into the hole.
It's a little underwhelming here because it's punctuated with a period. It's like, this is Sparta.
This is Sparta. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's because we just have the context of Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
Doing it so well.
Yeah. Like iconically.
Yeah. Very iconic. Definitely. Yeah. The most iconic part about that movie. You know, I also like remember that scene so vividly that I like saw the following panels in slow motion as well. And like when they're just like kicking the rest of the people in there, and yeah, like the camera pans and follows them into the hole. Why do they have this hole? Just to kick people in, I guess.
Isn't it like a pooping hole?
I don't think so.
What's it for then?
What?
What's it for then?
I don't know. Maybe it is for pooping.
Or maybe like...
But like...
Trash?
Who got out of there?
No one.
Well, like, how do you make it?
Ladders?
Just use a rope.
A rope, yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because this is all like tiled, you know?
Yeah.
Or like brick or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It seems hard to make.
If there was poop at the bottom, do you think you'd survive? Like the fall?
Ooh, no, it'd harden.
Yeah, you're probably right, actually. I just like the scale of like the whole city... You know, and I like that, you know, this is like a shot that was replicated in the movie as well. It's just kind of like Frank Miller does like a lot of bird's eye view kind of shots, mm-hmm, of just people like walking around. And it's really fun to just look at the environment like around them. Like, who the fuck is this guy who's like just this fat dude standing with like a Flintstones ass bat?
I don't know.
And then there's like people like on the ceiling and stuff like that. So it's just really fun to just look at everything. And it almost feels like a nice buy.
You're like, ooh, they have tile roofs. That's nice.
Tile roofs. They're doing well for themselves.
Yeah.
Here's a lady with her tits out. You know, it's just like, it's interesting. Yeah. And it works really well with this format. So, but anyway, that was chapter one. Chapter two, Leonidas goes to the Ephors, who are priests, I guess. And he asks them to reallocate the Spartan men to a mountain pass called the Hot Gates. Which basically is just a natural formation that'll act as like a funnel for the Persian army, given Spartans like the advantage. And the priests deny Leonidas because they've already been bribed by Xerxes. And so...
Yeah, but they don't tell him that.
They don't tell him that, yeah.
So these guys are like manipulating the like Greek law or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because they basically tell whatever like the gods say, you know, and you're not supposed to like... disobey that,
mm-hmm,
and they tell him not to go to war.
So Sparta is not all of Greece.
No, I think it's just in Greece.
It's just one of the islands, maybe?
I think it's just like a small city-state.
And so like Athens, the Athenians, right? Yeah. That's a separate body of people.
Yeah.
But in Greece.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
Like
it's kind of like different states, I guess, here.
Sparta is like Oklahoma or something.
Okay.
And then
not as cool. Choose a different state, please.
Rhode Island.
Okay. Better.
And then Athens is probably like New York.
Okay. I like this.
So
thanks for translating to American.
Yeah. And then the Persians, I don't know. Some other, I think that's a different, yeah, because Persia is like a different country.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah.
That one I know. So Frank Miller puts a lot of folds in his like capes and dresses and shit.
Oh, that's the best.
And like sometimes I'm like, come on, what are we doing? And then other times I'm like, this is really interesting, you know? And so they have like this oracle lady and she's just the hottest one they could find.
Yeah.
And like all of these people, I guess, just fuck her. I don't really know the whole thing, but the folds and stuff in the dress like really contour and like informs what's going on with like his actual drawing.
Informs titties, Nathan.
It informs titties, sure. But I was talking about other things too.
Oh, Daniel. Yeah. I wonder how, like, I would love to almost like learn how they decide these sort of things, like the folds, like, because like that's always seemed like
Miller does.
Yeah. Or yeah. Just anybody, you know, because yeah. That seems like the hardest thing to try and do to really add like the realism to these things.
It seems like the Frank Miller folds are like when you're trying to make a tie-dye shirt and then you like unravel it, but then you just like don't like, you don't iron it.
It's not all the way
it's
through.
Just all folds, you know? So like, it's definitely something that Frank Miller does like on purpose. I would assume everybody else just does like photo reference and tries to replicate it as much as possible.
Probably.
Or like they do like this V tactic, which I've seen before in like art tutorials.
With like capes?
They just make like different Vs on like, for like sleeves at least. It's like a V that they put and like they stagger it and it looks like folds. But this is just, there's like a lot going on. And so it's interesting to see how it like creates context for like the shape of whatever he's trying to do. Because he's really good at it.
Shape of boobs.
You know, in this case, yes. So Leonidas is like, fuck all that. And he goes to the hot gates with his 300 hot Spartans instead. And the Arcadians meet the Spartans and they team up. And so that and night,
that brings their numbers to 7,000.
Yeah. Which is still vastly outnumbered compared to the Persian army because they have like a million people or whatever.
Yeah. The movie made it seem like it was like actually like 10 dudes.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it does. You barely even see them.
Yeah, because I guess if you just add like these 7,000 dudes, then like it makes it seem like what they did less cool.
Yeah.
You know, take down like this million person army.
Yeah. And like
with just 300
less tactical,
people.
You know, as well.
Yeah.
So I could see. Yeah. Why they did that. That night it rains and then they see some Persian like ships get all fucked up. And so that helps, I guess, a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Frank Miller is really good with his writing in this, just like with dialogue at least. But I really like this repetition where he's saying like we march like a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I think that shit goes really hard. And there's also an interesting moment where there's like this distinction made between having men in your army and having soldiers like Sparta does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty cool as well.
What I noticed in this is that like Leonidas like knows he'll die.
Yeah.
In this. Mm-hmm. And it's all like captioned. So it's like what he's thinking.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine he'd want to deteriorate their like confidence or whatever.
Yeah. He's not going to be like, all right, later, wife, I'm going to go die.
Yeah. He's got like no confidence. Like he just knows it.
I like that the movie expanded more on the wife, whatever her name is.
Yeah. Adding more of like the kind of like Spartan politics was like kind of cool and things like that, rather than just being like, bye.
You know? Like, hey, wife, bye, wife. You know, because that's what this was.
You see like how she is like while he's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll talk about it more. But I also just love the deep red that they choose, like in some of these pages, like with the Arcadians.
Mm-hmm.
Just very cool. They're very distinct. It's very easy to see which one's like a Spartan, which one's an Arcadian.
So he has like references for like how he wrote this, like based off of like other books and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like obviously happened in like it might have been like a little dramatized or whatever, but this like happened in history.
Yeah. He said that he wasn't trying to like be super accurate, I guess, with it. He wasn't trying to make it like a nonfiction type deal.
Yeah. And that seems like it'd be so scary to try and do, you know, just like put like a whole story together, have somewhat accuracy to it, you know,
but like 10% fantasy
and also make it like interesting, you know, and then also like just knowing like in this time in like BC, like 2000 years ago,
mm-hmm.
like what color their capes were.
Yeah. You know? Like what,
like that sort of detail. I'm like, where did he find that?
Yeah, you know? That's exactly. That's why I think it's interesting. Like he has a pretty good sense of like the architecture of that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think their helmets look pretty fucking cool, but like also just like the fact that this is something that you could make like a pretty cool story out of
yeah.
is also interesting. Cause this is fucking crazy. This is like a thing that like kind of happened, you yeah. know? So very cool. Also, like he's like name dropping like certain parts and like mountain structures and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Like I think I don't really history was never like my biggest interest in school.
Sure,
but comics teaching me history, that shit's cool.
Yeah,
like the Good Asian.
They should do that.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah,
that shit was so cool. I'm like, why don't they teach this in school?
I'm like, I didn't know any of this.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, so.
Why does it keep this from us?
Yeah, just have Frank Miller teach history, I think. That's what I'm saying. So chapter 3, Daniel. So we get an intro to this like deformed Spartan named Ephialtes. Is that his name?
Got it.
And he's like, I want to help out in the war. And then we'll see him a little bit later. And then Leonidas hears about a Persian ambassador who went ahead of the army to negotiate a Spartan surrender. And so the Spartans kill him and they display him for the Persian army to see. They give him the Spartan greeting or whatever.
I thought they chopped off his arm and then sent him back.
Well, they tried. Oh, sorry. The Spartan welcome was when the ambassador was coming. And then, yeah, they talked to the guy. Yeah. Chop off his arm. Yep. You're right.
So
let's talk about how gross Ephialtes looks.
Oh, yeah. I thought he looked gross in like the movie, but like. They definitely like
they toned down the hunchback in the movie.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Cause he's got quite the hunchback.
I think it's cool. Like his like story, you know, because Spartans will like toss out babies that are like deformed or like small and stuff like that. Just like kill them.
Yeah. That's made very clear in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. And so Ephialtes, this mother, like, I guess somehow knew that he was going to be deformed or whatever. Or maybe I guess when he was born, like she just like fled mm-hmm. with him. And was able to save him. And his father was like a warrior. So he has like his armor and stuff. It doesn't like fit him or anything.
Yeah. He wears like the head, like, or the helmet, like barely. Like it's
like a hat.
Yeah. It's kind of like a hat because his head's too big.
Yeah. And so he's like trained to be like a warrior. Like he can handle a spear, but he just mm-hmm. can't hold up his like shield long enough, like high enough.
Yeah.
In order to like maintain the solidarity of like, you know, the wall that they make with the
phalanx.
Their
shields. Yeah.
The phalanx.
There's a scene where we see like the Spartans training and they're doing one-armed push-ups with like another Spartan standing on top of them, which is wild.
Oh, I thought they were just like laying there.
No, they're doing like one-arm push-ups. I'm just
stepping on these guys.
That's insane.
I can do that.
I can't even do one-arm push-up.
Yeah.
I can't even do a two-armed push-up with someone on top of me. And they're doing both, Daniel.
I can't even do a knee push-up.
I could probably do that. Yeah, so then as the Spartans prep for battle, Ephialtes tells Leonidas about an alternate path past the hot gates, and he wants to join Leonidas' army, but Leonidas has to deny him because his disabilities won't allow Ephialtes to be in the phalanx, which is like their whole thing. So it's kind of understandable, but... So after he's denied, Ephialtes is so distraught that he just runs off a cliff.
Yeah, dude. I'm like, he just killed himself?
I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I wrote. I'm like, did this dude just throw himself off? Like, he's like so distraught. He's like, no. But also, Leonidas, just like have him be somewhere else. You know, he doesn't have to be part of the phalanx. Send him with the Arcadians, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But he like did want to be like a Spartan, you know?
Yeah, you could be a Spartan just like in the back. And yeah, so...
They called it the goat path, which was that like...
That was, yeah, the goat path.
Yeah.
And so after this, there's like an earthquake, except, it's not an earthquake. It's the entirety of the Persian army about to make contact with the Spartans and the Athenians or Arcadians, whoever it is.
I always thought in the movie they were like exaggerating like how many people were in that. But like Frank Miller draws like...
He draws
thousands of people.
Yeah, it's actually insane. And this page is so cool to look at because one... Like one of the typical things that like artists hate to draw is horses. Frank Miller is not shy away from that.
Good horse.
Yeah, he does a good horse. This one's in silhouette, but he does other like for real horses.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, just this page of the Persian army is so cool because it's clear that they're on like a mountain. There's a lot of them and it's like shit. Because Leonidas has like 300 guys and...
Their shields look like they're like...
Stealth bombers woven? Or some shit.
They look like they're woven. They look like they're made out of like baskets.
Oh, yeah, it kind of does, huh?
Yeah, that looks weak as hell. They're going to die. It's basically just like a shade, you know?
Yeah.
That's all it's good for.
And then we see the phalanx from the Spartans, and that shit looks pretty cool, too. Which is, it's, you just see Leonidas, and he's the only one whose helmet has hair.
Yeah, he's...
So that's easy to...
The leader has the mohawk.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought they all had it, and so it's kind of cool that he's the one with the hair.
Yeah.
So then chapter 4, the fight starts. It goes pretty well. They push some Persians off a mountain, and they shield themselves from the arrows, and then successfully fight off another wave of Persian soldiers on horses.
So, the immortals?
The immortal. Or not the immortals yet. There's like a second wave of people, and they did like a triangle thing. Hmm. But yeah, this... Frank Miller has such a good sense of silhouette. And like this page in particular, it is recreated bar for bar in the movie because it's so effective.
It's so sick.
It's so cool. Like they're pushing. It's the one where they're like being pushed off the mountain and it's like going very slow in the movie. And it's just super cool. So yeah, like lots of action. And it's really fun to just see a bunch of men piled on top of one another.
Yeah.
Like Frank Miller's so good at that. And he always has been, I feel like.
Like all of the battles... are in this issue.
Yeah.
So it's a lot, it's definitely more spread out in like the movie, which I think works well for having like a movie length thing.
Yeah, definitely.
But this one is definitely probably the most exciting, but I wouldn't say like 1 through 3 were boring at all.
No, I was really interested.
It was like a really good build up.
Yeah. You know? He does a really good job setting up like what's going on like very quickly, like first couple pages. And then like just what the strategy is going to be and like all the different parts. It was very entertaining. And then this comes up and he like totally pulls off all the action, all the chaos, but like you could still see how organized Spartans are and how unorganized everybody else is.
Yeah.
And so then we see Xerxes for the first time. He approaches with like a small unit to negotiate the Sparta's surrender, but Leonidas denies him. Very confident that his soldiers can stand their ground. And some really good stuff happens here. A line that I really like is, "You have many men, Xerxes, but few soldiers, and it won't be long before they fear my spear is more than your whips."
Yeah.
That shit's hard.
Bar.
Yeah, that's a bar for sure. And, you know, the Xerxes design is insane, and they do a really good job like replicating that in the movie.
It's
as
just
well.
Like the cheek piercing. I'm the like, what is that?
Yeah. I'm like, why would you do that? And then there's like piercings that like go across his face, like between his eyes.
Yeah. They're like chains or whatever.
Yeah. And so he looks really cool. I think, you know, it's very clear that he's like he thinks of himself very highly.
Yeah.
And so just like,
it's like just because he's like a bit taller, you know, he's like, oh, I'm a god king.
Yeah.
You know?
And like the fact that he's like on this throne being carried by like 20 slaves.
Yeah.
You know,
what a dick.
Like you learn a lot about this character before he even says anything, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's a build up and like they're saying like Xerxes, Xerxes, Xerxes. And then you see him and you're like, okay, I could see why he thinks that of himself.
Right.
But like, it's crazy to be carried by like 50 guys in this way. Right. Like that's insane.
You could just be like carried on like a surfboard by like four dudes.
It could be like one chair. This is like a whole fucking staircase and a chair thing. So it
looks like it's made out of like gold.
Yeah.
You know?
It seems very heavy. There's like two gargoyle things, you know,
that are bigger than the people carrying it.
And so it's very extra. So that night, the immortals, who are personal bodyguards to Xerxes, show up. And this time, Spartans and Arcadians team up to push them back. But these guys pretty good at fighting. So also Ephialtes is still alive.
Yeah.
So that's a whole thing.
It'd be really funny just to have that scene in like the movie where he's just like, no. And he like just jumps off this like cliff or whatever.
Yeah. And then to later be like, I'm going to fuck this guy, you know?
He like lands on his hump and survives or something.
Yeah. He's like, my hump broke my fall. In the movie though, like he has like a one big eye as well, which I thought was a little distracting.
I remember that, but like you can really see like the CGI of like his eye being enlarged.
That's
or whatever,
why I thought it was a little distracting, but
which still cool though.
Yeah, this immortals design, I don't know if this is like accurate to history or whatever. Pretty fucking cool though.
Yeah, recreated really well in the movie.
Super well in the movie.
I was like, oh dude, is this like a real mask or something?
Yeah,
like,
it must be, or I'm almost convinced it is.
Are they just like nailed the design?
Yeah, there's also just like this weird strategy where they piled up the bodies and then just like pushed them over to take out like maybe 5 immortal guys.
Yeah.
And so it seems like a lot of hours of work.
Tons of work
to take out like maybe 1% of the immortals.
You stack them like 10 feet high and it's like
very structurally sound, it seems, as well. Yeah, 200. Yeah. And it's like, how did you
and
do
then
this?
Enough room for you could stand and still push it over.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very, the logistics there. I mean, I'm not like a war tactician or anything.
Sneak attack, pretty good though, I guess.
Yeah.
The thing is like,
you think also you'd be able to just dodge it if you're like there and then Leonidas is like, push. I would like stand back a little bit.
I'm like, they're pushing something.
Yeah.
So what was the thing called? Like the shield that they make with all their shields?
A phalanx.
A phalanx?
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't just like keep doing that.
Yeah. In the movie, they like break it. And I'm like, this is how you die.
Yeah. I was like, don't do that.
Because
just have them keep going and then like maybe take turns. Yeah, like just, who gets the front?
Like be annoying. You know, it's like when like you're campers. Fighting as kids and then you lay on your back and you do the thing with your feet.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't get past this. What am I supposed to do?
You win. Yeah. Especially if there's like a million people coming.
Yeah.
And it's basically unstoppable.
Yeah. I definitely thought that in the movie. And I'm like, their whole thing was the phalanx. Like you can't get past it.
I thought that was the only purpose of having it right there.
Yeah.
You know, because it has this little
so they could like push it back. Well, split. They did it at first and it was really cool.
Yeah. I was like, this is perfect. I would watch this for like an hour.
Yeah, I know. But they have to like make it interesting. They have to show how cool Leonidas is or whatever. So,
yeah.
But I was like,
as soon as they broke it, that's when people started dying.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, no, go fucking figure. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm. Anyway, chapter 5. So Spartans fight off more waves of the Persian army. There's a couple of Spartans that die, but, you know, not nearly enough for Xerxes to be happy with. So Xerxes bribes Ephialtes with women in power to get the location of the hidden path that goes behind the hot gates to flank the Spartans. And there's like a scene with the Spartans after like they're done fighting. And there's a line from Dilios who's covering like his wounded eye. And he's like, it's just an eye. The gods saw fit to grace me with a spare.
Yeah.
I was like, it's like a joke, but like a cool guy joke, you
know?
Yeah,
I know.
And I'm like, that's cool.
To be that chill about like,
he's like, don't worry, I got another one, you know?
Yeah.
And so Leonidas hears about the Persians going through the hidden path. So they prepare for one final stand against them. And he sends Dilios back to tell the stories of how the Spartans fought for freedom. And Leonidas gives like a big speech. And then his boys are like, we're with you, sir, to the death. And then Leonidas says, like, I wasn't asking. This isn't a democracy. And I'm like, that's so out of pocket. Like, your boys are with you. They're like, yeah. And he's like, I wasn't asking. Like, you just have to do it.
Yeah.
You're killing the vibes, Leonidas.
Yeah. Just roll with it, you know?
Yeah. Just be like, thank you.
So in this, like, during the one of the battles, like, the captain's, like, son dies.
Yeah.
And it's like a one panel thing.
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, really? I, like, picked up on it. It's like, you know, this one right here.
Yeah. I saw
that's like where they were like, oh, three men had to restrain him or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because like he was blood drunk.
Yeah. I remember seeing that, but I was like, oh, he's just angry. But, you know, but obviously in the movie, it's like a 4 minute scene of his head falling. So
and so it just wasn't very like sad here. And then they definitely like
they played
honed
that part
in
up.
On that, you know,
yeah, you
which
could,
I think works.
You could tell the parts where Zack Snyder's like, we should explore this a little bit more. And I think that's what makes it really interesting.
Yeah.
Like a really interesting movie. Because he expands, I think, on all the right things.
Yeah. It works. So, and then cuts out things that really aren't necessary.
Yeah. So the Spartans meet the Persian army. Xerxes' ambassador gives Leonidas like one last chance to kneel. And Leonidas is like, you know what? That's probably a good idea. So he takes off his helmet and he drops his shield to surrender. But then he hits him with the psych. And the Spartans attack.
That's the wrong number.
And then Leonidas like throws his spear and it barely grazes Xerxes' face. So he like misses. And then the Spartans are shot down with like a bunch of arrows. And there's a couple cool things here. I really like these panels where it's showing like Leonidas's perspective, like but like looking through the helmet.
Yeah.
That's and good. I think that's cool.
Because it shows like how...
How limited his vision is. Yeah. Which normally wouldn't be a problem because you're just doing a phalanx thing. It's like, just look forward.
Yeah.
You know? So I can understand.
But even though he misses Xerxes, there's still like meaning behind him throwing the spear. It shows that this god king can bleed, you know, and he's just a man.
Yeah. I think this story wouldn't be as effective if he like hits him in the head.
Yeah.
Because it's like, he can bleed. He's not invulnerable. He's not immortal, whatever. But also like, the intent here is to just fight for freedom.
Yeah.
Like the inspiration here is like you fight for your own freedom. You fight for your own land. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like a really strong message.
Definitely.
So I think he does this really well. So there's also the comparison to like back when Leonidas was like fighting the wolf and he's like just prepared for death and no one really knows what that means, you know, except for him. So very cool.
So when the Persians are on the way to the battle, going through the goat path, the Ephialtes is with them and they come across like the Arcadians that are like fleeing or whatever.
They're leaving.
And Ephialtes is like, there's no reason for you guys to like attack them. Like they're obviously leaving. They're not like a part of this war, but the Persians like attack them anyway. And then Ephialtes is like showing like almost like regret in a way. Like he seems like, because he's like, you know, there's no reason to attack them because he now like kind of feels bad for what he's doing. Cause people that are actually like
fleeing the battle, like you don't
fleeing the battle and like just not having part in it, still getting murdered, you know? So he thinks that he probably didn't make the right call, which is not in the movie, but I think it's still kind of cool.
It is interesting. Yeah.
And he wants Leonidas to like surrender, like right before
he really wants to, cause he doesn't want to see him die. He's still like, you know, he still based his whole
like
personality
his
and life around Spartans and being a warrior.
Yeah.
And so I think this scene where Leonidas is like telling Ephialtes, may you live forever. I'm very interested in that because he doesn't seem to spite him, but he kind of does. And he just wants him to like live with his guilt, maybe is what I take from that.
Oh, perhaps.
Because it seems like it really bothers him. Well, like he really wants him to surrender. He doesn't want to see him die. And he's like, you did this kind of deal.
Well, he knows that he like lives like an unfair life because of how he was born and like deformed.
Yeah.
And so hopefully like with the rest of his life, he can get some joy out of it, you know? And
I don't think he's that kind of guy to wish that kind of person.
Probably not. That's like all I could think of.
Yeah.
You know, because.
But yeah, I mean, the way that he says it, it seems kind of genuine.
Yeah. That's why
especially
I got
the movie, you know? So it's a very interesting thing to interpret because just reading this, I would be like, oh, he's saying that to be like petty and kind of out of spite. But then Gerard Butler's performance of it is like, that seems like he means that. And so it's very interesting. I would want to see like other people's perspective on that. So anyway, yeah, they get shot down by arrows. Really cool couple panels with just a bunch of arrows on the page.
Yeah. Tons of lines.
But their spirit lives on throughout the stories of Dilios, who's like a really good story guy, I guess.
Yeah.
And then a year later, Daniel, there's a new generation of 10,000 Spartans that live to protect Sparta. So the story of freedom and fighting for it, that inspires 10,000 other people. And he somehow trains 10,000 people in a year to be a Spartans.
Yeah. He had a little bit more of a notice, I guess.
I'm confused by that. So is it like other Greek people coming over and they're like, we should band together, or maybe. Were there these soldiers already and Leonidas only took 300?
So Leonidas only took like his best soldiers and only people who had sons, and that narrowed it down to like 300 people. So there is a whole Spartan army that he like left behind.
Okay.
And he was told by like those priest dudes not to go to war. And he's like, oh, I'm not going to war. I'm just taking a walk with 300 of my best buds.
Some of these guys. Yeah, they're my favorite people.
And their spears and shit.
Okay.
And so that is kind of like where that comes from. Because they didn't want to like start a war, but they also didn't want to like
make it clear that they were
given to like, yeah. And so and arguably probably got more done with just the 300 than he would have with like
10,000,
the whole army. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
because I think like works better having less when you're in the hot springs or whatever, because it's such a narrow path.
Hot gates.
Yeah. And so.
So, yeah, really cool. And let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
There's not really Back Matter. This is like a graphic novel. So it's like this is just like the story and that was it.
Yeah.
You know. But it did release in issues, actually. So
there's recommended reading.
There is recommended reading. There's like the Hot Gates by William Golding. It seems like just the pieces of work that sort of inform this.
The Histories by
Herodotus.
Yeah. You said it better than I probably would have.
You could do the next one. Thermopylae.
Yep. The Battle for the West by Ernie Bradford.
The Western Way of War by Victor Davis Hanson. Yeah. It's cool. I like when people read books for me and then put it into comic. That's how I prefer.
Yeah, that's how everything should be.
That's how it should be, especially when Frank Miller does it. You know? Yeah.
The Bible? No, sir. Give me the action Bible.
Yeah. And then they do the Miller World thing where it's like, here's some other work by me.
Yeah.
Frank Miller.
Different Miller World.
Yeah. But this one is like him with Lynn Varley. So he did Ronin as well with him. I'd be interested to read that. DKR. And then Elektra Lives Again.
Which I want to read Ronin really bad.
I want to read Ronin and Elektra.
Yeah.
So wait.
Write it down.
Frank Miller did Xerxes like fairly recently, right?
Yeah, just what a couple years ago. I think just a spinoff about Xerxes.
Not interested.
If it's as short as this, I'd go for it.
Okay, maybe I'd be interested. And then also by Frank Miller, Sin City, obviously. And then the rest of them I have never heard of. A Dame to Kill For, The Big Fat Kill, Bastard.
Those are all Sin City like trades.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so only the first trade is called Sin City, but like the second one will be like a part of the Sin City collection, but it's called a Dame to Kill For.
Okay, gotcha. That makes sense then. So yeah, that's the book. What'd you rate this, Daniel?
So Leonidas eats an apple.
Does he?
Right in the middle, yeah. If you didn't notice it, that's on you.
I did not. I didn't know he ate any fruit.
I give it like a candied apple with like M&Ms on it, you know, but it's cut up.
Okay, I like that.
So you don't eat it off of the whole apple. You got it in bites, and so it's much easier to eat.
And the slices are in the shape of a phalanx.
Yeah.
I would do this. I gotta have it.
Oh, no, it's like the apple, full apple, but it's got like a million arrows in it.
Ooh, you know? And it hurts to eat. I would do a gotta have it, but with 300 M&Ms.
Whoa.
Mixed in there. And so it's like, and I'm like the Persian army, you know, like I'll eat it. I'm going to eat it all, but it's going to give me a little tummy ache.
It's like an ice cream cake.
It's going to take a lot of effort to like eat it, you know?
Yeah.
And so.
You have to eat it in like little chunks, like their battles, you know?
Yeah. Maybe I throw up or something. But, you know.
Maybe lose the sun in the process.
Eventually I do. Eventually I do overcome the 300 M&Ms.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really fucked with this. I didn't think I was even going to like it that much necessarily, but I was pleasantly surprised.
I bet 300 M&Ms is only like two bags.
I think it's a lot of M&Ms.
I'm going to look it up.
I think it's bigger than like the big family ones with like the little Ziploc seal.
No way.
100%.
How many M&Ms in a bag?
Well, one bag is like the single serving, I would assume, right?
A 7-ounce bag. So that's like the
typical,
the normal
one, rectangle one.
Contains around 210 M&Ms.
No fucking way.
Dude, it's what they say.
I'll buy one right now.
Sorry. Okay, so I think the 7-ounce one is the resealable one.
That makes sense, because 7 ounces is like a lot.
So a 1.59-ounce bag from the checkout line at the store typically contains 30 to 35. Okay.
Okay, so
that's way fucking off.
Imagine like 10 of those in some ice cream. That's what I'm eating.
That doesn't even sound enjoyable, dude.
No, it doesn't, but
maybe 300 mini M&Ms. War is not
enjoyable. Daniel, you think war is enjoyable?
No, maybe the way they're doing it. But
yeah, maybe. I assume it'd be kind of fun. Yeah, naked. Yeah, I like this a lot. So it was a good time.
Good stuff. Shall we talk about the movie, Nathan?
Yeah, let's talk about the movie.
So this is Zack Snyder's second movie ever.
Really?
Yes.
Was his first? Do we care?
Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good wow. Movie. Good for him. Good track record.
So his movies like seem to slowly get like
worse?
Bigger and bigger budgets.
Yeah.
Because like I think this one was like 65 million and Dawn of the Dead was like 45 million and then Watchmen was like 135 million.
Gerard Butler is pretty big at this point though, right?
Pretty big as like an actor?
Yeah.
He's definitely
pretty big, like muscle mass wise.
Yeah, he was huge.
Did he do Gladiator first and then this?
Probably.
Okay.
Gladiator.
It seems interesting
that 2000.
When did the movie come out? 2001?
Like 2008.
2008? That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it seems interesting that he's in this. He's a perfect Leonidas.
Absolutely. I can't think of anyone better.
Yeah, I can't either. He's like so good at it. You know, I like his accent. He's really fun to like listen to.
Mm-hmm.
The beard he has. There's like an interesting silhouette
with Leonidas,
which is very pointy. And I'm like, who does that for him? He has a kid in the movie.
Yeah.
He doesn't in this, right?
I think he does in this.
He does in this?
Yeah, it's okay. Just like a kid that's by his mom. But that's not expanded on,
really.
So the kid that is like like the younger version was like Zack Snyder's son.
Is that true?
Yeah. Wow. He's like, hey, get in there real quick.
Wait, I got a son.
Take your clothes off.
Okay. Okay.
That was just like a thing I heard like a long time ago.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So the movies is like more linear, you know, because
yeah,
this one, it jumps back and forward between like,
it like jumps back once.
Yeah. So from when he's telling the story and they're like, oh, a year ago. And then it's like when he went to go see the priest and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I think just going, just start to end works really well.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I was like confused or anything, but like, why have it if it's not needed?
Yeah. Yeah. They don't do the stumbly-os thing. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it's smart of him for a second big movie to just do a comic book, because like a lot of that's laid out. You know, you don't have to think much about script other than like what you're going to expand.
Yeah.
All the cool parts of this script you could just put in bar for bar. You know?
Right.
And they translate pretty well, because sometimes comic dialogue doesn't. But yeah. I think Frank Miller is, his writing in this is so hardcore that it does work really yeah. well.
I didn't realize the person who plays his wife is the person that plays like Cersei Lannister in Game of Thrones, which is like the main bad guy. And I was like, is that fucking Cersei? And just like just being like in two like European-esque like fantasy, not like fantasy, but like, you know,
yeah,
old things. And I just didn't realize that was her.
This one's a bit more fantasy, because there's a point with the immortals in this. And they just have like a big ogre dude.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck happened here?
Did you have subtitles on?
I did.
It said like uber immortal whenever he said, whenever he growled or whatever.
And I'm like, that's cringe. But I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah. And they added like a rhino or something, like a Persian rhino.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's an elephant in this.
Yeah. Elephant's fine. Rhino is not in this.
I think elephant's not fine in movie context.
I think it's cool.
People like elephants, you know. And they don't want to see him die, but Rhino's a little bit more sinister, maybe.
I guess.
I would assume that's why. I thought it was interesting, though. I was like, a rhino, okay.
I was like, I, because when I watched it, I was like, I doubt that this is in the book, you know, because I hadn't gotten to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah.
How do you feel about, like, the slow-mo sex scene that they just added to this that wasn't in the book?
He definitely stays consistent in his movies with the slow-mo.
Yeah.
Lots of slow-mo.
I think works in this, but
it works well in this. I hated it in the 4-hour movie.
Oh, yeah.
The Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Right.
I was like, this is, you don't need slow-mo here.
Yeah.
You know, in this, it's good. The sex scene, I think you have to have it be slow-mo, because if it's like full speed, it's like a little bit weird.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the slow-mo makes it a little bit more dramatic.
True.
I think he's definitely more poignant with the slow-mo here, because it's like big action beats are like in slow-mo, or like it goes from slow-mo to like regular pace, like slow-mo again.
Right.
And that's pretty cool. But we talked about it a little bit, but yeah, they just like immediately leave the phalanx, and it's just Leonidas like, you know, flipping a dude with a shield and then stabbing somebody else and then doing a thing. And then he gets hit. And I'm like, obviously you got hit because you're
bunch
alone.
Of spin moves and
yeah,
shit like that.
Spin moves and shit, which does look cool, but it's like, you're going to die.
One of the coolest things in this movie was like the Persian leader that came, that they cut off his arm.
Mm-hmm.
He said like, our arrows were like block out the sun.
Yeah.
And then that part came and then it made everything dark on them. When like all the arrows, I was like, holy fuck.
That was sick. Yeah.
It was so crazy.
I liked that part in the movie too, because they're just like hiding under their shields.
They
counted it
super easily. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like laughing. And I'm like, these guys love what they're doing.
I was like, this is the greatest fucking shield of all time.
Yeah. It's a really good shield, you know. And then there's obviously that part where he like cuts off like the arrows with the sword. And I'm like, that's sick.
I was like, oh, that's a lot of shoulder strength right there.
A lot of shoulder strength. Good, sharp sword as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, really good moments. They expand on Leonidas' wife, whatever her name is.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I think that is cool, because you could tell why they're married.
Right.
Because she's badass as well.
Yeah. They, when we were watching this, so Sarah, I like asked Sarah to watch it like for a few days in a row. And then like she looked at like two apps and then like gave up on finding a movie. She's like, let's just watch 300. I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
And then we were watching and she's like, how'd they find so many people with abs? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, that was like the big talk. I was like, dude, so many abs in this movie.
I'm like, this is crazy. And made me want to go to the gym and like,
I know,
do crunches.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Maybe want to eat a salad.
Because like, I feel like the Gerard Butler physique is like perfect. Like you couldn't have gotten any better.
Yeah.
And then it's interesting because Michael Fassbender also looks really good, but he's like a little bit scrawnier. He's like a scrawny buff.
Cause like, and he also has abs. It's really hard to be like big and then also just like shredded like that. Yeah. You know, I think it took,
it must be like
Gerard away like 9 months to like get to that. You know, with like, and he had like 6 hour training days.
Wow.
I'm like, holy shit. That feels kind of productive.
But. And like, you have to do like the dehydration thing to like really make your abs pop.
Yeah.
And so like,
he's like,
and when every scene you're in, your abs are out. I can't imagine what the,
I looked into it. Apparently he was like, he was getting like a pump, like before every take, you know, like, and I'm like, that's sick.
Like feels like some pain and gain type shit.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. It was really, and then in Meeting the Spartans, they like have the sprayed on abs. Which
is
really
funny. Like, that made more sense. I'm like, maybe there's some truth to that.
That's what I was looking for.
They are like heavily contoured, you know, which probably adds to it.
Yeah. Well, but, like they also have like,
or they just turn up the contrast on like the.
Yeah. And like, they probably have baby oil on them to make it look like they're sweaty, you know, because they would be. And like, you're putting like dirt on certain areas to maybe highlight. I don't know. There's probably some camera tricks there, but. They're fucking shredded.
I was like, are the abs CGI? You know, like they move when they're breathing and shit? No, but like, I believe that they were all there. You know, no one looks like chunkier.
No one had a burger for like a year making this movie.
Crazy dedication.
The Xerxes, perfect.
I love Xerxes in this.
Perfect. He has like a weird voice thing going on.
Yeah, they like definitely like pitched it down.
Was very distracted by that.
I like it. I like his voice. There's just like a couple lines where I'm like, all right, that's like a little too deep.
It was like Batman v Superman, like voice modulation level at some points. And I was like, this is just strange, you know?
Yeah.
I guess he's supposed to be like this, you know, otherworldly figure kind of deal. But that was like a little bit too much.
Yeah. He's just like cool to look at. And
yeah, very cool to look at.
He's just got this face that's very like piercing, you know, this look that he has.
And he's got lots of piercings on his face.
Yeah.
So.
Ouchie. So that when they're on the way to the battle, they like stop by like this built this like village that was like burned down and all the bodies in it were like tacked to this tree. And that was added. I don't know if I guess it's just to make us like definitely not on the side of the Persians or whatever.
Yeah. Like they're definitely bad people.
Like, oh, this is the immortals did this. Yeah. It was like whatever, I guess. Had some like pathos because they had like a kid that was like. That died or whatever.
The Oracle in this was doing like a whole dance scene before she like said no war or whatever. And I was like, this is weird.
It's like the ringtone for like talking to the gods, apparently, because apparently like the gods speak through her or something.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, maybe
they go to like,
it's like a rain dance, but just for calling the gods.
How often do they switch her out?
And she's all used up or something. I don't know. Maybe she dies.
Yeah, maybe, because they say it's like the most beautiful girl in all the land.
Yeah.
And so, and then I think they all like fuck her or something. It's really weird.
Yeah, those and guys are fucking gross looking.
They're really gross. They're like inbred.
Yeah.
When, I don't know, that's very, very strange.
Yeah.
Who knows how real that is or whatever. They were just gross in both comic and the movie.
So with the $65 million budget made, $456 million
Oh, hell yeah.
Worldwide. So I'm like, that sounds right, because I feel like everyone
it was knew pretty big. About this. Everybody like still knows about it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and then you have like a whole spoof based off of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Which I think elevates that movie as far as popularity even more.
Right.
And,
but
Sophie's always like my litmus test for like if people know about a movie or not, even though she really knows about weird movies, but like if I know a movie's like really big, if she's like, oh, I've seen that.
But overall, I thought this movie was fucking awesome. I loved watching it. Like I if someone put it on like tomorrow, I would probably watch the whole thing. You know,
because it's very fun watching.
There's so many good parts and like the cinematography is like kick ass. This is what like it's like the same dude that Zack Snyder like always uses. You know, so it's. Gives the same feel.
His job is a little bit easier because sometimes Frank Miller does the composition, you know, with what he does. Like my favorite shot is when they're pushing it up in both the comic and the movies, when they're pushing the Persians off the cliff.
Yeah.
And it has an even bigger effect in slow motion when like they're doing it there. It's just so cool looking. And it just makes me wonder like how they did it. Like, is there a big pad at the bottom? If there is, are people falling on each other? You know,
I bet.
Do they do it one at a time and just layer it on top of each other?
Probably layer it. Because
if they did, that would be really hard, I feel like. And they did a really good job with it. So if it wasn't just completely CGI, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It needs it's to be just, a making of.
Yeah, there probably is.
I need that that Blu-ray for the bonus features.
Yeah. What if it has like a little game? Remember when like DVDs would have like little games?
There was like a 300 game, like video game.
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I think it came out like the same year. I don't know if it's any good or anything, but
I miss when
I think movies... that was back when they had the companion games.
Yeah, dude, I miss those.
Dude, Spider-Man, the movie.
Dude, game. Fucking Flushed Away. Are you kidding me?
We did have that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We played the shit out of it.
That shit was awesome.
Some of them are really good. The Surf's Up one, like, has legs still.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, remember that Cars one?
Oh, dude, on the DS?
We tried so hard.
I played that shit for hours.
We rented one on, like, the PlayStation or Xbox from Blockbuster.
Yeah, that was back in the day.
We're kind of old now. Just saying Blockbuster, I'm like, oh, fuck, we had, like, we
for
had
Xbox those. 360, dude. We had to sit real close to the TV because they were wired controllers.
Yeah.
You know?
I love getting old.
Yeah.
All right. The pull list.
Yeah, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
You know, big week for me.
Yeah, it is a big week, huh?
I didn't realize that going in. I was like, I'll just get Wonder Woman, you know, and whatever else is out. But I did get Wonder Woman. I also got In Hell We Fight, number 4.
Yes, sir.
By Jonathan Lehman, Tenement, number 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saga came out and Big 66, Game.
66, Big Game 3, yeah.
And then Predator versus Wolverine.
Yes, sir.
I cannot wait to read that.
Yeah. That'd be exciting. Did you get World's Finest 19?
Ooh, I missed that one.
Dude, the Nick Cage cover?
That's the Nick Cage cover?
How could you miss it?
Okay, I think I missed it because Penguin Random House fucked up the Marvel shipment last week, and so they had more stuff on the wall this week, and so it was really crowded.
But anyway...
Did you pick up anything else other than me? What I got?
No, we were pretty much on the same page this week, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Joker manga...
I remember hearing about that, yeah.
Also, like, a Superman one and, like, a Batman one, I think.
I think that's cool.
The Superman one is, I heard what it was about. It was just about, like, Superman, like, falling in love with, like, Japanese food. And so he'll, like, fly to Japan, like, every day to go get food.
Sounds like a Ghibli movie.
Yeah, right? But, yeah, I might flip through that. See how it goes. Okay, cool. I really like when... There's like properties that are just like made into mangas.
Yeah, no, it is pretty fun, actually.
Especially if it's not just like, not like the Mandalorian one where they're just doing the first season.
Yeah, that's lame.
Like I want like see...
original stories of like characters that we know. Yeah, but with the just Japanese.
Yeah,
with Japanese influence. It's
super
awesome.
Fun. Like I think they like nailed like Deadpool. Like it works really well in that style. You know.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you read?
We'll have to read one. I read Daredevil number 1. Came out last week by Saladin Ahmed and Aaron Cooter. Don't laugh. Okay, nice.
How is it?
It's interesting.
Okay.
It clearly picks up from where Chip left off.
Did you finish that?
No, but it's clear that he left Matt Murdock. Is that his name?
Daredevil?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. For some reason, it sounded wrong.
No,
when
it's
I said
Michael
it.
Murdock.
Michael, yes, thank you. It's clear that he ended that run with like Elektra as Daredevil and Matt Murdock got hit. Died, went to hell, came back, and lost all of his memories. That's like the thing. And now he's a priest. And so that's interesting. But a lot of this first issue is like kind of undoing that. And so you could tell that he didn't really want to go that direction. I think what Chip wanted to do is like he wants it to set up something for whoever's going to write it next.
Yeah.
But have it not just be like, oh, everything's just back how it was, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then to me, it feels like Saladin's like, let me just get away from this and just do like what I wanted to do.
I think they all are kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes. And so what's happening is that he's like slowly getting his memories back and he like knows how to fight just like by instinct.
Mm.
And so I'm like, okay, well, this is just going to be undone and like by the end of this trade.
Yeah.
But there's definitely some interesting ideas in there. And also Aaron Cooter is kind of doing like a bit of a JRJR type feel. But like,
have you seen really his artwork good. Before?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, so like a good... JRJR.
I think it's really good. Yeah. Really think, strong art.
Yeah. Okay. I have to look. I remember seeing the cover. I'm like, that kind of looks
that
like
JRJR. That was JRJR who did the cover.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But it looks very similar to that. I had to like go back to the cover and make sure it was JRJR that like did it. Because when I bought it, I was like, That's a cool Jerry Jarrow cover. But I had to like double check.
I don't know. When it comes to like those like A-list, I don't know if like, yeah, like A-list like characters, I feel like it's got to be like A-list artists. You know what I mean? Like they got
Jar is, to be clear. Maybe not to
but
you.
But in my opinion. But yeah, like skill wise, you know?
That's so mean.
No, like
he's the nicest guy too.
I'm sure he's a great person.
You should watch one of his videos.
And he could probably kick my ass. But like,
yeah, he's strong.
Like this Marco Ticchetto was on it, like at the beginning of like Chip's Run, right?
Most of Chip's Run, yeah.
Yeah. That guy is fucking sick.
He is pretty sick.
Like Jorge Jimenez on Batman, mm-hmm, like that's like appropriate. Like it's gotta be like that or better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think I was just kind
of
spoiled.
I think that cover is one of his better ones of recent times. Have you seen it?
Yeah, but yeah.
The one where he's in the rain.
Yeah.
He loves to do that. I also read Gargoyles of Gotham.
Did you finish it?
Yeah, I did.
Nice.
It's cool.
Cool.
I love Raphael Grampa.
Yeah, he's great.
He has such a specific Batman design.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. I like how he just like textures things. He seems like a little bit of like Nick Patera and like quietly almost like kind of put together.
Okay, that's nice.
And
that's
really like
how it. I remember his artwork, but it's cool.
It leans a little bit more like Nick Patera, but mm-hmm, he made like a really strong Batman thing. Like there's some good detective stuff in there. He's doing a really interesting thing like with Batman just like personally, and the villain is really strong.
Is it a new villain?
New villain.
Ooh.
Really good.
Is it Gargoyle Man?
Yes. You read it. No, it's not. It's like a
Gargoyle Guy.
You're gonna read it. You're gonna read it. So I assume, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
That came out last week?
Last week is when it came out, yeah. But yeah, it's really strong. I think it is cool. There's like some Batman tech where I'm like, I'm confused on how this works, but other than that, pretty cool.
Cool.
I think it's a very strong start for especially for like a writer artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read like half of Department of Truth, like the first issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A good horror. Yeah, it's pretty dense. Just to see if it'd be like a good horror thing. And I don't think so, but I haven't read the full first issue yet. So
if you can't get like an idea of it,
it might like end with like a twist that seems like horror, you know, but like the art style for it is really cool. And he would be like a really good horror artist. So I'm not like sure yet, but the setup is really, really nice. So far.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, what did you read?
I read issue 3 of The Giant Cock Jew.
Nice.
Yep.
It's a premiere one for you right now?
Yeah. Yeah, that one. So that was the last issue of that, issue 3.
Mm-hmm.
That book is everything that you think it's going to be and everything you want it to be. And it's tons of fun.
Like Jurassic League?
Yeah. I don't know if I finished Jurassic League, actually. But yeah, that was really good. And what was cool is like at the end, they had like some pages that were like in that world, but it was actually like the creators in it, like Scott Kolbisch and like Jerry Duggan, I think.
No, he's a writer. Jerry Duggan?
Yeah, he's the writer of Giant Cock Jew.
Oh, Scott Kolbisch is the artist?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they're both like in the book, and then they use those pages to like promote their next book that's either coming out or is out already.
As part of the story or like a back matter thing?
Like a back matter kind of thing.
Okay.
And so that was kind of cool.
What's the next book?
I don't know.
Wait, issue 3 is the last issue of that?
Yeah, it's only 3 issues.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so
I should have been on that.
I don't know if it'd be necessary if it needed another one.
We should read that when Godzilla comes out.
No, we're going to read a real Godzilla book.
God damn it. Yeah, you're right.
Speaking of Godzilla, I read Godzilla, Here There Be Dragons, number 2.
The one with pirates, yep.
Yeah. What happened to that one?
You're on a big kaiju thing recently.
I love kaiju comics. I don't know why. It's like,
fun.
There's not like a ton to it plot wise, but I love seeing how they're drawn.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I can see why.
You know, like Andrew McLean did like a Godzilla book.
He told me about this and I didn't know about that.
Oh, no. Okay. So
he's doing one next.
I told you about a Kickstarter that he did that ended like the day I found out about it.
Yeah. And then you told me so I could be in the misery as well.
Yeah. And so, but no, he actually either did or is doing like a Godzilla book in his like art style, and it looks incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome. Whoa.
So yeah, I'm a sucker for that shit. No, his Kickstarter is called Snarlagon.
Yeah.
And he was just doing like a kaiju book of like this character he just like made up, but he also wanted it to kind of look like the old Godzilla movies where it looks like it's just a guy in like a rubber costume or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he was like adding that to it. And he was just doing it on like printer paper. Like he wasn't like binding it or anything.
Oh, yeah.
It's
like
a 40 page thing that he just staples and then sends to you.
I bet he just like figured out what like publishing, self-publishing is like. And he's like, fuck this. I'll just like use my.
I think he's done Kickstarters before. But like, yeah, this one, he's just, I just want to do this fun thing.
Yeah.
I think it'd be so funny just to have like a comic on printer paper that you just have somewhere. You know?
People would be like, did you steal this? Like, did you torrent it and just print it out?
That's a huge waste of ink.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Other books you read?
Nah. Did you watch anything?
I watched a couple things, yeah.
Let's hear it.
I watched the first two Fast and Furious movies.
Really? Why?
Well, I put Too Fast, Too Furious on just to have something in the background because we were on like a big cleaning thing.
Interesting choice.
I was just like the first thing I saw and I was like, this will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, interesting movie. And then I'd never seen the first Fast and Furious movie. And
yes, neither, you have.
Well, like not in like forever.
Okay, okay.
Like I couldn't tell you like a single thing about the movie. I forgot that Ja Rule was in it.
Yeah.
And he's fumbled the bag there. But
yeah.
Yeah. So I watched Too Fast, Too Furious first. And then Sophie and I watched the Fast and the Furious. And she wants to watch all of them now.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, okay. Because she hasn't seen any.
That's crazy.
She hasn't seen Tokyo Drift, you know.
Oh, that's such a cool movie.
Fast Five or whatever.
I'm jealous that you're kind of going through this now.
Yeah, no, I know. I really enjoyed the first two as well. And it's really funny because they'll like be racing or whatever. They'll hit the NOS and then you see like the little speedometer and it's like they're nearing 100.
Yeah.
And then, I'm like, I do that on the freeway.
The like the side view of them, like when they hit the NOS and just like all the lights going by, yeah, like so shitty.
Like they're going into fucking hyperspeed, hyperspace, whatever. And I'm just like, they're not going that fast.
And then like the CGI of it, like going through like the engine or whatever.
Yeah.
Looks like a video game or
that,
something.
I like that a lot, actually. And I just can't wait for it to like hit Fast Five or whenever it just gets like batshit crazy.
Yeah.
And
like steal like very fun. A safe or something.
Yeah. It goes from like realistic like Forza game to like an arcade game, you know, yeah. Those movies.
The first one's the only one about like street racing.
Yeah. You know? I just am not excited for like what the bad ones are, which I think is the fourth one, which I think is just called Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
We had to look up like.
Then five is Fast Five.
She wants to do it in like
six
timeline chronological order. Which is not that different from release order. It's just Tokyo Drift is like in a different spot.
Okay.
Actually, I take back. She has seen Hobbs and Shaw. That's the only Fast and Furious thing she's ever seen.
Such a bizarre start.
No, I don't know why. Cause I didn't see it with her. We were like, we're dating at the time. And I don't know why she saw it, but
yeah. Did you know that, that Mark Wahlberg was almost like Brian, like Paul Walker's part?
That'd be so weird.
Yeah.
Dude, Paul Walker's hot.
He's like, I'm a cop, Mia.
Dom, come on.
Can I see Dom?
Yeah. Come on, Dom. Take my keys. Come on, go.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
Yeah. And then like Vin Diesel is just like so young looking.
Dude, he's so young in this.
Yeah.
In the first one.
I think they're all supposed to be like 24.
I don't believe that for a second.
No, they all look 35.
Paul Walker's like a hot 30, you know?
Yeah.
He's also like... not a great actor in like the first one.
not spectacular.
Yeah. But he's great. So
that's cool.
And then I watched Spy. Have you seen that movie? It's like a comedy movie with Jude Law and Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, I saw like parts of it. Isn't like 50 Cent in that?
Dude, yeah, he is.
At the end.
It was so weird.
So I like somehow walked in on somebody watching that and I caught that bit. I'm like, what's happening? And no, it doesn't seem like a good movie.
I enjoyed it ish. Like,
why'd you watch that?
Because we were trying to find a movie to watch while we were a little under the influence. And she's like, I love this movie. And I didn't have anything else to counter with. And so I was like, all right, we'll watch it. And
Sophia's like love movies are
so strange, right? It's very fascinating to me. And so, like, sometimes I want to entertain them because I'm like, what is it about this movie in particular? And like, I laughed at some parts, but she like pitched it to me how I pitch things to you. And I kind of overhype it sometimes.
Yeah.
She was like, my dad has never laughed harder at any movie ever. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. And I laughed at a couple of good parts, you know? Huh. So that's I wouldn't say it's bad. I think the idea is pretty fun and there's some good Melissa McCarthy stuff.
And but, I'm not going to watch Spy.
It's literally the funniest movie I've ever seen.
I've literally never laughed harder.
Literally, you would love it. But yeah, that's what we watched, yeah.
I watched the third Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh, yeah, you're going through those.
Yeah, pretty good, but definitely not as strong as like one or two.
What happens in the third one? Who's the baddie? Blackbeard?
No, that's like the fourth one or something. Okay. I don't know. It's like still continuing the Davy Jones stuff, but like Jack Sparrow's dead, and the East India Trading Company has control over Davy Jones and like the... In the Flying Dutchman, because they have like his heart or whatever.
Yep.
And this one kind of sucks because like...
It's in the chest, right?
Like, yeah, it's in the chest. And he like forced Davy Jones to like kill like the Kraken. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm like, oh, that's dumb.
That's the coolest part, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's just like shit like that. And so, I don't know. It just it didn't feel like... I wasn't really like scared of anyone, you know? Like the first two, I'm like, these people are terrifying, you know? But this one, just like it didn't really have that, and definitely felt like a part two to something.
Yeah, these are all going downhill.
Yeah,
by the way, and so you're gonna watch like three more movies, right?
Hopefully, I deterred Sarah enough to the other ones, but she might want to watch the other ones. So we'll see.
I think if you're that invested, you might as well just go all the way, you know? Because me and Sophie are watching Parks and Rec, and I don't like the last season where they like came back and did one more.
You're gonna do it?
I'm gonna say no.
Putting your foot down, huh?
I'm gonna say like, we don't need to watch it, you're not gonna enjoy it kind of deal. And if she like really insists, I'll watch it, like, because I have never given it a second chance. I just watched it the one time, but I didn't like it because I think it just had such a good ending with like season six, and then they did season seven, and I'm like, why did we do this?
Yeah.
So
I also watched this documentary called BS High.
Okay.
It's a documentary about a high school called Bishop Sycamore. And this is something that happened like a few years ago. And it was like a high school that had played this like top five, like high school in football, like on ESPN.
Yeah.
But Bishop Sycamore is like not a real school. And so it's this guy who like
made up a high school
and like had attached it to like this church, you know, and there really isn't any kind of like ordinance for just making a high school, I guess. And so he just like,
it's like accepted, but in real life.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It is. And so he like found all these like kids that were like prospects, you know, and, you know, looking for like college deals and things like that.
But they weren't on a team already.
They weren't on a team. Like they didn't go to like school for whatever reason. So they're like 19, 20, 21 year old kids. And so, and he would like hype up the school to like other schools around him just to get games. And he like got on schedules and like, drove these kids around.
And they're not kids. They're like 20 years old.
Yeah. They drove these adults around to play like these kids in high school.
Like bench warmers type shit.
Yeah.
With like, I'm 12.
But the thing is like, they were really bad. Like they're able to get on the schedule for this, like basically feeder high school for like colleges, you know, like everyone looks at this high school.
Yeah.
And they're able to get a game on ESPN and they lost like 50 to nothing or something.
Oh my God.
They didn't even score.
That's like, so it was embarrassing.
Crazy. Yeah. And so it was just like this super long thing about how long this dude just dragged this out. And there was even like a guy who like caught wind of him and what he was doing and like tried to like report all these things, but nothing he was doing was like necessarily like illegal, except for like
claiming
check frauds and stuff like that. Like he'd write and would take out all these like loans for like hotels and stuff like that. And yeah, it was just like insane. And so when this happened, it was all over Twitter. You couldn't get away from it because...
When did it happen?
This was like maybe 2 years ago.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And so the documentary was like interviewing this guy who did it all. And it was crazy. They even had like some of the kids come back and things like that.
Yeah,
there was
sounds insane.
The quarterback on that team even had like a shot at like Marquette or something. And he got like recruited and everything. And then like they found out about this, about him being on that team. And they like pulled like everything.
Whoa.
And so like... is all these kids who were like actually looking for like an opportunity.
They knew,
but because
they weren't in high school, right?
Yeah, they knew that, but they thought that it was fine. They just like roll with it. It's like when you're like 18, 19 or whatever, and you have like this, like an adult, it's like a 40-year-old dude, like showing interest in you.
Yeah.
And you're really wanting to help your career, telling them that like, oh, you're going to be on like ESPN. A D1 university like next year, you know, we're going to get you there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was just like crazy how this dude just like ruined these people's lives.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, no, it was super interesting. I'm surprised like Sarah wanted to watch it, but yeah, it was crazy.
That was cool.
Highly recommend for anyone who likes football.
Nice.
But yeah, so what are we going to...
I have a recommendation for you. I've been on a...
To watch?
Yeah, but probably just
Is it
you.
Too Fast, Too Furious?
No. It's a good movie.
Is interesting it a documentary?
Movie, no, what? Kind of. It's a video essay on YouTube. And it's called What the Internet Did to Garfield.
Okay.
And I watched it because like it's typically like on people's like top 10 recommended ones, but it's like actually a really interesting history on Jim Davis. Or is that the dude that made Garfield?
I think so. 8 million views. Yeah. Super Eye Patch Wolf.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim Davis is the one. There's really interesting stuff on what he did in his early career and some of the implications in the actual comic itself. Like Garfield comic, and
isn't there like a it's like a minus Garfield comic?
Yeah,
is that they bring that up?
He brings that up. So eerie, so weird,
because it's like
Garfield minus Garfield, I think is what it's called.
They like erase like all of his like text,
and it's just
like showing John's reactions to things that he does, and it's like weird.
He like the
I listened to a podcast about that today.
Yeah.
Like, well, not like about Garfield, but they mentioned it, you know?
Yeah, there's like weird stuff in that, but also, what the fuck was it? Oh, the maker of the video essay read like thousands of Garfield comics and did this really interesting thing where he like characterizes like what the punchline is. And he like statistically shows you like what the punchline is and like what that means about like Jim Davis's like psyche and stuff like that. It's really interesting. So I actually recommend you watch
how long
it.
Is
so
that?
It's long, but there's fucking crazy shit in there.
$120.
Yeah. So
no problem.
I recommend that. And anybody listening, it's really interesting.
Cool.
So, what are we gonna read next week, Daniel?
What are we gonna read next week?
Nathan, it'll be horror month.
Holy shit.
Already.
Right. Oh my God.
This will come out on the 29th and next one will come out on the 6th.
Yep.
So
what's our first horror book?
Pick between Killadelphia and Immortal Hulk.
Okay, let's do Immortal Hulk.
All right, sounds good.
Okay. Yeah, Immortal Hulk. Let's do it.
Al Ewing, finally, our first Hulk book, Nathan.
Our first Hulk. Dude, that's fucked up. And we're not even doing like World War Hulk or anything.
Yeah, episode like 184.
Yeah, we haven't done all the Avengers like solo series yet. Yeah, like main Avengers team.
We've never done like
Iron Man.
Have we done Cap?
Yeah, we've done Winter Soldier, Cap.
Does that count? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it does.
I don't even remember that book.
I think it's great.
I remember liking it, but yeah.
Yeah, we've done Black Widow and True. Thor and Hawkeye.
Wow.
we've done Thor. Yeah, we did everybody but Hulk and Iron Man. So yeah, and we'll never do Iron Man. Maybe we'll do Iron Man. We should
Matt
probably.
Faction. He did it, run. That's probably good.
Yeah,
right?
Warren Ellis did one, so it's supposed to be solid. Brian Michael Bendis did one as well. There's some good options there.
Yeah, okay,
we'll figure it out.
Sounds good.
You recommend an Iron Man, listener. You have a job now.
Yeah, tell us which Iron Man. What's the best Iron Man?
What's the best ever Iron Man ever read? That's under like 200 pages.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We got our links in the description. You can like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Send us an email at traversepod@gmail.com. Tell us what Iron Man comic to read.
Yeah.
Any horror recommendations.
Yeah, that would be appreciated because we want to do a good
one. That's probably top priority.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right. Bye. Say bye, Nathan.
Bye.